evening. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, guess where we're going to be at tonight? Book of John. That's it. Book of John. John chapter number 12 tonight. As we turn into the book of John tonight, I had an individual pull up at my house today and this evening right before church, and we was talking. And she said, "Give me what you're going to preach tonight." And I started laying it out to her. I told her, if you go back and look, since about February, we've been in the book of John, and we're just now the last of John chapter number 12. I told her we've been staying in the book of John. And she said, "Why is that?" And I said, "Well, you know, have you ever went to somebody's house? And you ever went to somebody's, Brian's talking to somebody. He may be praying over there, I don't know. He had something going on in his shirt, he pushed a button. But have you ever went to somebody's house and you walked through and you just picked out what you wanted to eat? They had a plate laying there and you went over there and you said, that looks pretty good, and you got some of it, you just got what you wanted out of it. You ever done that? And then what you didn't want, you just didn't really get because you didn't want to eat it, you didn't want to digest it. Well, when you stay with the book and you stay with the Word, amen, hey, you get some stuff that and otherwise you might overlook. And I believe that as God has showed us in the book of John, that He has showed us that He is the way. All the way through, He's pointing to Himself being the true Messiah, being the one. Even though they railed on Him and didn't believe it, He kept on. And tonight I want to preach a little subject that God's laid on my heart this week. And the title of my sermon is this: What Was He Thinking? What Was He Thinking? I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, John chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 44. What was he thinking? John chapter number 12 and verse number 44, the Bible says, "And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words, oh, he hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I'm so thankful for another opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk tonight and preach, thus saith the Word of God. Lord, as we look in here tonight, what in the world was you thinking? Lord God, at this time of your life, it's fixing to be a time of betrayal. Father God, what was going on in your mind? Lord God, we hear that people say that we can't know what you are thinking or doing, but Lord God, in the Word of God, you showed us the plan of salvation. You showed us the purpose of salvation. And Lord God, everybody that's under the sound of my voice tonight, you've got a plan for them. You've got a purpose for them. Lord God, you didn't just create them to set them, but Lord God, you've got a plan for them tonight. And I pray tonight, Father God, we're searching what you have for us. Lord God, I pray tonight that you have your will and way in this service. Lord, I pray you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I pray tonight we get to see what you had going on right before you went to your betrayal. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for Calvary. Lord God, I stand here tonight amazed at what you do in our lives. Lord God, how that we once was lost, but now we're found. Lord God, just to stand there and just to see your awesome power in our life. Lord God, I pray tonight for the one that might be troubled tonight. Father God, the one that might have a troubled spirit. Lord God, I pray tonight when they leave, they be not troubled. But Father God, I pray they be on the mountaintop. Lord God, the one that come in tonight, Father God, that needs a little joy restored. Lord, I pray they find that tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you and we do thank you. Lord God, I want to thank you right now, Father God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray I never stand behind this pulpit and not preach your mercy and your grace. Lord God, you've come to set us free. And Lord God, I pray tonight that everybody that's under the sound of my voice tonight has been set free. And Lord God, your word says, who the Son sets free, whoo, glory, is free indeed. Father, thank you for freedom in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to share something with you tonight as we get up to this point. What was he thinking? What was Jesus thinking? If you look back into the text here, he in chapter number 12, Jesus will give his last public address. This will be his last public address before his betrayal, before they betray him and before they crucify him, before they spit on him, before they slap him. He will not make another public address. Oh yes, he'll talk to his disciples in private all the way through the rest of this book. But publicly, he'll not address the crowd no more. Friends, tonight as we get here and we see this, he will give this private words to his disciples as we read on in the book of John. He'll say, let not your heart be troubled. He'll say, I am the vine, you are the branches, and you can do nothing without abiding in me. And he will comfort them. But I want to ask you a question tonight. What was he thinking when somebody was about to betray him? You know, tonight as we are believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to know tonight that he knows all things. Can I get an amen? Hey, he knows all things. There nothing catches him off guard. He knows everything. He knows the hair that's on your head. He knows what day that body that you are in will be laid to rest. He knows everything that is going on tonight. So we have to know that when he came here in chapter number 12, that he knew that they were going to betray him. He knew that one of his disciples was going to betray him. And right before chapter number 13, what was he thinking? What was he thinking leading up to this? I would ask you tonight, if somebody was going to betray you and you knew that somebody was going to betray you in the morning, what would be on your mind tonight? If you knew that you were going to be let down come in the morning, what would be on your mind tonight? Would it be getting even? Would it be getting a revenge? Would it be hiding out? Or what would it be tonight? But Jesus Christ, our greatest example we could ever see, he didn't look at none of them things. I want to share with you tonight three things that he was thinking about when he was fixing to be lied about, cheated about, spit upon, and made fun of. Friends, tonight, if you'll look with me tonight in verse number 44, the first thing that he thought about was his relationship to the Father. He thought about his relationship to the Father. Look what he says, and Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. He says tonight that what was he thinking? He was thinking about the relationship to the Father. Friends, tonight, there's one thing that we can learn from this. No matter what goes on in our life this week or the weeks that we'll face, we must remember the relationship that we have with the Father, God Almighty. He says tonight in his word he had an exact relationship. It wasn't some second-hand relationship. It wasn't somebody else's relationship. It was his relationship with his Father tonight. Friends, I want you to know they are one. When you think about God, you think about Jesus, and you think about the Holy Spirit tonight, they're all one. They're one being tonight. Three different people, but all one. That is the Trinity tonight. They got their own special purpose and their own special will. But friends, I want you to get this tonight. He said they had an exact relationship, and he says in verse number 45, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Friends, tonight, not only did he have an exact relationship, but he had an exact image of who God was. He said, if you've ever seen me, you've seen the Father. Friends, he had a spitting image of who God was. Tonight, if you're a born-again believer, and God Almighty is your Father, I say tonight on the authority of God's Word that there ought to be some things in your life that resembles God tonight. Can I get an amen? There ought to be some things tonight that resembles God tonight in your life. I think about my daughter and what a scary feeling it would be, or what a tragedy it would be tonight if I got to that place tonight and there was no image of me in her life. Friends, tonight, every one of you tonight that has kids, you know tonight that kid looks just like you. Hey, there's some kids look more like their parents and then others. But hey, tonight, we all got some attributes tonight. We all got some things that we can choke up to our parents tonight. If it won't take long, you'll watch a kid and you can tell how their parents are by the way them kids live. Can I get amen? they're going to be spitting image of their parents and the home that they live in. And tonight he says the relationship of the father, he had an exact relationship. He had an exact image. He was the spitting image, but he had the exact glow. Friends, he said that he come into the world and he was that light. Friends, I want you to get this tonight. When Jesus Christ came into the world, darkness had to flee. Darkness had to flee. It could not stay. And when he comes into the believer's life and you get born again, there's some things that's got to flee. Darkness cannot stay in your life no more. There's a light that comes on the inside. It's kind of like a nightlight. It comes on and dispenses the darkness. There'll be no more darkness. And look what he says in verse number 46. He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Friends, tonight, if you're a born-again believer tonight, you cannot have the characteristics as of a lost man tonight. There'll be things in your life that'll change. You'll start looking like God. You'll start doing what God has called you to do. You'll start having an image after God's own heart. You'll start having desires that God has tonight when you have a relationship with the Father. He says tonight it is exact relationship. It's an exact image and it's an exact glow. It destroys darkness. In Genesis 1:3, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And hallelujah, praise God, they was light. Amen. Hey, when he said it in the world and he spoke it into existence and he said, let there be light, and there was light, that is the same thing it does in a believer's heart. When you get saved and you call on the name of Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins and he comes into your life, immediately all at once that darkness flees and a light comes on the inside. You can't do what you used to do. You won't do what you used to do. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight, the grace of God, it won't let you run the way you used to run because you have a relationship with the Father. If he can get this tonight, I mean, this just blows my mind. He said he had a relationship with the Father. That's why he had the light inside of him. Amen? Tonight, if your light's dim, see what kind of relationship you have with God tonight. See how close you are to that Father. You ever seen some kids, they don't want to be around their parents, but the older they get, the more they want to be around their parents. Have you ever seen that? When they was growing up and they was little. See, when you first get saved, it's kind of that way. You really don't want to spend much time. But as you grow with that parent and as you grow with the Father God, you want to spend more time with him. You want to spend more time in the Word. Friends, tonight, I say this every time I preach behind this sacred desk. I want you to know tonight, the worship will not sustain you. Worship will not sustain nobody. It won't be long. You'll be dry and you'll be dull and you'll be done out of. But tonight, it's the Word of God. It is what is the light tonight. That Word, when you get in that Word and you study that Word and you realize of a relationship with the Father. When he says in the beginning God created light. Friends, I want you to know tonight it wasn't some big bang. Hey, it wasn't so man that created that light. It was God Almighty that created that light. Can I get an amen? Man, that ought to get a clap all over this place to know tonight that man didn't create something that you need. So in the world we live in, if he said in the beginning God created, you get this tonight, if he created that light and man can't create that light, amen? You can put as many lights to as you want in this park lot. There'll still be darkness out there. It'll dispense it a little bit, but there'll still be darkness. If God can only put the light in this universe, God is the only one that can put the light inside of you. Church won't put that light inside of you. Woohoo, glory. The preacher can't put that light inside of you. There's only one person that can put that light inside of you, and that is God Almighty. And I want you to know tonight, when he puts that light inside of you, it's not dim, it's not burnt out. That light is shining light for the whole world to see, and there'll be no darkness in your life. I talked to a man today on the phone, and he was talking, and he said, you know, and he kept saying, it may be a coincidence now that I see things. And I told him, I said, what you're seeing is not a coincidence. What we call it in the faith is that you're walking in the Spirit. Friends, tonight, when you see God lining things up and you see him taking his light and dispensing the darkness, that is not a coincidence. That is walking in the Spirit. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He said, I got a relationship with the Father because I walk in the Spirit. But let me give you this. Not only in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In 1 John 1:5, the Bible says, this then is the message. He said, you want to know the message and the relationship that you have with the Father in that light that is inside of you. You say, preacher, why do some burn brighter than others? I don't have an answer. He said, "Preacher, why does it stick with some people and it don't with others? You see them, they come, they get saved, and 2 weeks later, they're back out doing what? I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. But I do know this, when the light comes on, you'll know it. Hey, when that light switch comes on, you'll know it. You won't go back out. I'm on authority of God's word. You won't go back out into the world. When that light comes on and that darkness dispenses and that light comes on, who wants to be in the dark? Not me. Man, I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the light. I love the light, don't you?" And he said, "This is the message that we have received." 1 John 1:5, he says, "Then this is the message when we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light." Tonight, if your life is full of darkness, you make sure that God's living on the inside of you. If you're living in darkness and everything's doom and gloom, you make sure that God's living on the inside of you, because tonight God doesn't know light. God is light. Amen? That's why he said in the beginning God created. That's why he could speak light into existence, because he is light. And he says tonight, "And this is the message which we've heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." There's no darkness at all in God. Folks, tonight, if it's dark all around your life tonight, make sure that you're fanning that fire, stirring that fire in your life. You say, "Preacher, how do I keep that? How do I fan that fire? How do I stir that fire?" By reading the Word of God. You must read the Word of God. You must spend daily time with prayer with God. You must talk with Him. He is your Heavenly Father. For that relationship to be strong, you have got to be talking to Him. But not only talking to Him, but you've got to be listening to what He says. Amen. If he is my father tonight, the only way I'm going to have the relationship that I need is me talking to him and him talking to me. And he says tonight in the word, he said the relationship to the father. He said what was on his mind right before he was betrayed. He said, "Hey, I got a relationship with the father." This week, I don't know what'll go on in your life, but whatever comes your way, you remember tonight, if you're a born again believer, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And you remember tonight, that relationship, it will destroy anything Satan throws your way. Anything Satan throws your way, the relationship will, it will, I promise you tonight, it'll dispense anything Satan throws your way. So, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because the love that God has for you. You know what holds relationships together? It ain't money, because money runs out. It ain't looks, because, can I get an amen? We all grow older. We all grow a little older. We all ain't going to always look pretty. Okay, that's just a good subject. We'll just stop right there. We'll stop right there. But we're all, I got to tell it. Can I tell it? Brother Kevin, can I tell it? I got to tell it. I got to tell it. Boy, y'all can tell I've been in the mountains. Jesus went to the mountains. I was up there and Brandy was in that room, and I told her, I said, "Baby, you know what?" She said, "What?" "Brother Hayden, you're going to like this. You're going to use this." I said, "You so beautiful." I said, "You may have done got your glorified body." She said, "You crazy thing. Hush that up." But let me tell y'all, let me give you, I love having a good time. Y'all do too. Y'all do too. And I told her, and he said, "Preacher, so if money don't hold it together and looks don't hold the relationship together, what holds that relationship together?" Love. L-O-V-E. Love is what holds a marriage together. Love's what's going to hold your relationship with God together. He loved, for God so loved. For God so judged the world. For God so loved. What was on his mind? What was he thinking? Man, he's fixing to be betrayed in chapter 13. In chapter 14, he's going to say, "Let not your heart be troubled." Chapter 15, he's going to get to that place where he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Chapter 16, he's going to come in there and say, "You have not because you ask not." 17, you're going to see where he gets over to the betrayal and Judas sells him out. Chapter 18, you're going to see all the way over. He's fixing to get to the crucifixion. Chapter 19, in chapter 20, they raise, he rose from the grave. Chapter 21, the end of John, you know what's going to take place? He's going to see him walking on the road to Emmaus. And you see all this going on and he's going to be betrayed. Why was he worried about the relationship with the Father? It's because he was wrapped up in the love of God. Tonight, you'll keep doing what God's called you to do, not because you want to work for God, but because you're wrapped up in the love of God. When you're wrapped up in something, it just makes all the difference, don't it? I've said this many times. If you don't love what you're doing, it won't be long. You'll quit it. I don't care. That goes with church. If you don't love coming to church, it won't be long. You'll quit it. If you don't love worshiping God, it won't be long. You know what you'll do? you'll quit it. You know why Jesus Christ, he knew he was fixing to be betrayed in the garden. And you know why he kept going? Because he had a relationship with the Father. Tonight I'd ask you a question. What was he thinking? What are you thinking tonight? My number one concern in my life tonight is this, my relationship with my Father. That I have that relationship that I can be proud of. You can be proud. Man, I love God, don't you? Man, I love what he's done in my life. I love how he's brought me from a devil's hell. Snatched me away from them flames and just transformed my life and made something totally different, not who I used to be. He said, preacher, how do I know tonight that I have a relationship? There's been a change. There's no, you ain't got to look in. That's just what it is. There's been a change. There's been a change. That's how you know you have a relationship with God. There's been a change. You're not who you used to be. You've been made brand new. You're a new person. But let me show you this tonight in the text. Not only, number one, he had a relationship with the Father. That's what he was thinking about. But number two tonight, he was thinking about the rejection of his friends. The rejection of his friends. Look with me back in verse number 42. He says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. But because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't say amen. But because of the Pharisees, they would not lift their hands. But because of the Pharisees, do y'all get what I'm going here? But because of the Pharisees and they're worried about what everybody else thinks. Folks, tonight, you must not care what everybody else thinks. If they think you're a holy roller, hey, thank God, amen. If they think you jumped off the deep end, thank God. What was he thinking? He knew he had a relationship, but he knew he was going to be rejected by his friends. Tonight, when you got a relationship, whoa, glory, with the Father tonight, there's going to be people that's going to reject you just because you know God. Boy, I just, whoa, glory. He said the rejection of his friends. Look what he says tonight. And the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of their church or synagogue. For they loved. There's that word love. We love something. You love something tonight. There's something you love. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And look what he says tonight, if you will, in verse number 48. He that rejected me. Here we go. When you have a relationship with the Father, there's going to be some rejection from your friends. You know why they rejected Jesus? Because he was God. He was not only man. He was not a good man. He was God-man. Jesus Christ was God. Folks, tonight I want you to know this. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit. They're all three one. That's what they are tonight. They didn't have to look over heaven. When we needed a substitute, they didn't look over heaven. God done had it planned out. He sent his son. He sent Jesus. Get this tonight. He said the rejection of his friends in verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So tonight, get this, the rejection of his friends, number one, it's a personal rejection. The rejection, when you reject Jesus Christ tonight and the people that you know reject Jesus Christ, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Folks, have you ever been friends with somebody and then you get closer to God and that friendship starts dwindling and you think, what have I done wrong? You've not done nothing wrong. You're getting closer to God and people don't reject you. They reject God. They reject what you stand for and what you believe. And he says tonight, it's a personal rejection. Sister Denise, you might be able to help me on here. I hope I got this right. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to give you a little education class right here. He says in verse number 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If you notice two words that he used there, he used the word he and he used the word him, which are pronouns. But let me give you this. When it was he was alone. But when it became him, there was an action given. Is that correct, Mr. Denise? There was an action given. I believe that is correct. It went to him. No longer he was not going to judge he, but he was going to judge him. Friends, tonight there's an action that's going to be given one day for everyone that rejects Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And friend, tonight Jesus won't judge them, but God Almighty will do the judging. He said, I've come not to judge the world, but I've come to save the world. And friends, tonight when they reject Jesus, they reject God Almighty, they reject that sacrifice tonight. And he says it's a personal rejection, but also that rejection, it has a price tonight. When you reject God, there's a price going on in your life tonight. Friends, all over the world we live in, there's people rejecting it tonight. And what was he thinking? He said, preacher, he was going to go to the cross anyway. That was his duty. That was his job. That was his commandment, to go to that cross. You said, preacher, does he love everybody? Friends, I want you to know tonight, he loves the sinner just like he loves the saint. He loves the one that's lost just like he loves the ones that's saved. Friends, tonight, Jesus, he don't love one more than the other. He loves them all the same. It doesn't matter if you're saved or you're lost. He loves you just the same tonight. He doesn't want to see nobody go to hell. What does he want them to do? He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be converted. And he wants them to have a home in heaven. That's what was on his mind when he was headed to the cross. He said, I got a relationship, but I got people that want to reject me tonight. Friends, in the world we live in, not only is it a personal rejection, it went from he to him, that pronoun did, gave an action, a given, a judgment that was coming. Not only does it have a price, but it has a penalty tonight. Not only is there a price, but there's a penalty. To reject Jesus, there is a penalty tonight. To reject Jesus, there's a penalty tonight. You said, what's that penalty, preacher? Number one is to be judged by God. He says in the book tonight, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words have one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. He says tonight that that's a price, but there's a penalty. You'll be judged by God. You'll be judged by the word. Friends, tonight we live by this word and we die by this word tonight. This word that I'm standing here in my hand tonight, it is the living word. This ain't a dead book. Amen. This is a living book. Folks, tonight, I want you to know they're trying to change it every which way they can. They're trying to change it. They're trying to make it fit you where you can read it. They're trying to make money off of it, whatever they can do. I told my wife this week, you know how hard it is to find a King James Bible with a pretty cover on it? You can't hardly do it. Hey, but you can find NIV. You can find whatever you want to. It'll have the prettiest cover you've ever seen. But friends, tonight, I want you to know this is the living word, the inerrant, inspired word of God tonight. And you can stand on this book. Hey, you can stand on this book because the God of this book, it'll stand by you. Whatever you say in this book, whatever he says, he said we got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, that gives us victory over death. That gives us victory over hell, and that gives us victory over the grave. I don't know about you tonight, but what was on his mind? Number one, tonight he had a relationship with his Father. Number two, he knew that his friends was going to reject him. He said it carried a price. It carried a penalty. But look what he said tonight in the book. Not only is he judged by God and judged by the word, but you'll be judged by yourself when you stand before God Almighty. He says tonight there'll be no lawyer there. There'll be no substitution there. There'll be nobody there to stand in there and substitute you. You'll have to stand on that day by yourself when you reject the Father. But also tonight there'll be nothing to say when you stand there. You'll have nothing to say but one thing, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He said, how do you know that, preacher? He said, there'll come a day where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They can reject him here, but they'll have to confess him there. He said, will it do us any good to confess him up there, preacher? No, won't do no good up there. What you do here will determine where you spend eternity. But I want to share this with you tonight in closing. Not only did we see what was he thinking right before he was betrayed, and if you look back in the text that we've been reading in, and you go back to John chapter number 12 and verse number 5, it says, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? When Mary came and she came to that place and she anointed Jesus. Oh, Judas, the one that was carrying the money bag, the purse holder, the treasurer, said, why did y'all, man, we could have sold that for 300 pence worth. Give to the poor. She gave 300 and he sold him out for 30. Do the math. Where was his heart at? We could have sold it for 300, but he sold him out for 30. I'd ask you a question tonight. What was he thinking? Preacher, what was he thinking? He was thinking it didn't matter what Judas did. He's going to the cross anyway. So, preacher, was he going to go to the garden anyway? He's going to the garden anyway. Why was he going to the garden? He's going to pray. Lord, not my will, but thy will. Be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Said, preacher, what was in that cup? Me? You? Everybody that's ever lived and everybody that ever will live. Every sin they ever committed, every sin that ever will be committed was in that cup that he was going to drink. Folks, tonight, you said, why would he drink something like that? He drank it because he loved you and he loved me. And he said, I got a relationship with the Father, and it doesn't matter who rejects me. It doesn't matter what friend rejects me. I want to ask you tonight, who are you trying to get praise from? You seeking it from men or are you seeking it from God? Boy, that's just something been on my heart. What was he thinking? He said, I got a relationship with the Father. He said, there are going to be people reject me, but I want you to know tonight, and my third point is this, I got a rule that must be followed. He said, no matter what people think, I can't change. I can't break it. I can't break the rules. Folks, tonight as your pastor, I can't break the rules. Tonight as a Christian, you can't break the rules. The book's the book. It's done been written. He said, preacher, I don't like it. Hey, I didn't write it. I just read it. Amen. I mean, I don't write it. I just read it to you. And Jesus even said, I can't break the rules. I got to go by what God's given me. Folks, tonight, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You know what's messed up people and messed them up in a mighty way? Is all the different denominations tell you there's so many different ways to be saved. And I want to show you just tonight what it takes to be saved. He put it in here. What was on his mind? He said, if I got a relationship, there's going to be people reject me. What do I do? Do I go with the relationship or do I go with the rejection? You know, we're getting to a place in the world we live in. If you're a Christian, you're going to get a lot of rejection. You're going to get a lot of scrutiny before long. It's coming. 30 years from now, there's no telling what we'll go through. But I want you to know, if you're born again right now, 30 years ago, your salvation will be just as real now as it was then, is then. Folks, tonight, when we believe in Jesus Christ tonight, he said there's a rule that we go by. Let me show you this in the text. He says tonight in verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment. Not a choice, but a command. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know, this is Jesus talking, and I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. He says tonight, there's a rule that we must follow, and he said that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rule tonight. He is who we go by tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This rule is more than an invitation. It's a command. He commands men everywhere to be saved. You say, preacher, it's a must. To enter heaven, you must be saved. To enter heaven, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what was on his mind? What was he thinking? He was thinking about, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I must go through with this and go to the cross. And here's what he said. If you'll turn with me tonight, it's more than an invitation, it's a command. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30. I want to show you this in the text. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30. Acts 17. In verse number 30, what was he thinking? He said, I have a relationship with the Father. I have rejection from my friends. They'd rather have the pleasure of men, be praised by men than of God. But I have a rule that I must go by. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30, the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked. But now, commandeth, a command given, all men everywhere to repent. He said, there's a time he winked at it, but not no more. He said, preacher, what's the difference now? His son had died. Man, his son had been crucified. His son took the sin, he took it to the cross for you and me. And you think he's going to wink at it now? No way. He said, preacher, I've been a good old boy. It don't matter.
What was he thinking when he was on that cross? He said, when you go to that cross and you hang and you bleed and you die for them, no longer will I wink at sin. No longer will there be any other substitution. They'll have to go by the cross. They'll have to go by the blood. That's what he was thinking. And look what he says. In the time of this ignorance, God winked. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because, why, preacher? He answers it in verse 31. Because he's appointed a day. He set a day out there. Is that the day you die? Oh, no. No, no. Look what he said. Because he appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He said, he appointed a day. What did he appoint? He ordained a man. And he said, you've got a day coming that you're going to stand before me and the blood must be applied. Look what he says. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. We'll talk to you again about it some other time. What is that? Rejection. Rejection. He says tonight, there's a rule we go by. And I want to share this with you. He says tonight, what was he thinking? As we was in the mountains, man, I always look for God to speak to me somehow, someplace, somewhere. Me and old Brother Lee Markham. Old Brother Lee. To know Brother Lee is to love Brother Lee. Amen? You got one here, loves you, brother. Brother Harold, he's in the car. He'd give me a honk back there. Nope, you ain't even getting a honk tonight. There it is. Glory, hallelujah. But listen to this. I'm talking about the rule that they go by. We're just going to go watch a show. And Brandy and Miss Denise, they done went over there doing their thing. And we were standing there. And he said, you got your ticket? And I said, no, I ain't got my I ain't got it. Brandy's got it. And we walked up there. And we before we ever did it, we walked up there. And we said, what we got to do to go in? And he said, well, you got to go to the ticket booth, get your ticket. You just can't walk on in. And we said, okay. We turned around, we walked back, and we got to the ticket booth there where they was at. And, man, God started speaking to me. You see, we walked up, and I could see right there where I wanted to go in. And right there's the entrance. I just wanted to go on in. And they said, you can't come in. You got to have a ticket. You got to have a ticket. And I was like, what was they thinking? So we turned around and we walked back and we get to that ticket booth. And boy, this hit me. It may not hit you, but it hit me. We walked up that ticket booth. They didn't want to see our cell phones. They didn't want to see identification. They didn't want to see, all they asked was, what's your last name? When you told them your last name, they took a manila folder, they opened that folder up, and they poured out them tickets. Now you have an entrance. You can go in. Folks, tonight, if your name's not written down, he's not going to look for a number. He's not going to look for a denomination. He's not going to look for the dollar amount that you gave at this church. He's not going to look at none of that. You know what he's, listen to this tonight. You know what he's going to look at tonight? He said, I've got a relationship with the Father. There's people rejecting me, but there's still a rule that you got to go by if you're going to heaven. And your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, preacher, what was he thinking? He was thinking, there's only one way we can do this. And he said, Jesus is the answer. When we told them our last name, they handed us the tickets. We got to go right on in and enjoy. Folks, tonight, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's going to come a day that you're going to walk and you're going to just enjoy heaven and everything that he has for you. I ask you a question tonight. Man, this is the core of the church. I know that. But tonight, the question is this. What was he thinking? Tonight as a church, what are we thinking? What are we thinking about? Who are we thinking about? Tonight, if there's anything we should think about tonight, it is this tonight, the relationship that we have with God Almighty. We should think about that relationship that we got with him. Even though people reject, that's okay. You still have your relationship because there's a rule that you went by. You know, if there's only one way, if he commands all men to repent, There's only way you can get in is by repenting, asking God to forgive you, and Jesus come to your heart. And tonight, I want to share with you in closing Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. As we was at Broken Lives the other week, we was over there and we was leading men to Christ, and man, they was coming up, and they came to that place, and as I sat down there, I had one man come up and I opened the Bible, and I heard Brother Gary say, and I mentioned this before, and it touched my heart. He said, look at that Baptist preacher right there. I'm down there, you know. He said, look at that Baptist preacher. Going to lead somebody to Jesus, and he's got his Bible open. Folks, my word won't do you no good. If it's written in the Word of God, you can go by it every single time. So what do you got to do? It's written down. Look with me tonight, Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. What was he thinking? Because he knew that us Gentiles was going to be here tonight, October the 14th, 2020. He knew he was going to be here, and he said this. And tonight in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. There's that rule we go by. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Said, preacher, is that it? That's it. That's it to have a relationship. The work's done on the cross. The problem is believing that that's it. The problem is believing that we serve a God so big that all you have to do is put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross, and what he did. Because what was he thinking? He said, I love them and I want to make a way for them. When we go back to the text, and he says in verse number 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When we get into the baptismal pool, did it ever since we've been doing it. First thing I ask the candidate when we get in the pool is this right here. Did you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Do you believe that Jesus Christ saved your soul? Do you believe? Did you ask? And they say, yes. Why, preacher? They confessed right then. We made sure they understood what they was talking about. And when you confess that, you no longer are your own, but you've been bought with a price. Now you have a relationship. You have somebody that owns you. You have somebody that takes care of you and watches after you. And tonight I would ask a question. What was he thinking? Tonight, what are you thinking about tonight? What are you thinking about tonight that you say, I'm just going to lay at the feet of Jesus. I'm not going to get up an uproar no more. I'm going to lay it right there at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to lay it right there at the feet of Jesus. I'll give you something tonight. I'm going to cut this off.